Lord. Glad to be here tonight, are you? Yeah, that was an awesome camp, wasn't it? Awesome. You may be seated. Yeah, I was kind of the last one of the bunch to teach. We did have some awesome teachings and workshops, and so proud of all our people that had anything to do with that, right down to making arrangements, to cooking the food, to reaching out to God to be able to have him move on us the way he did. He doesn't move like that unless we really reach out to him. I just... So thankful that we got into one mind and accord out there, and the unity that I felt there was awesome. I just looked out the trailer window one day, and I saw all the kids playing together, no problem. And I went into the dining hall, everybody's playing games. I didn't hear one bad word all the time during the whole camp, and I didn't hear anything negative about nothing. So I know that's the way God wants us to be, and I just thank him for that and the power that he gives us to live that kind of a life. And the theme of the camp was unity. And I got some scriptures on that. I had to search around. I mean, a lot of the scriptures I got are the ones that are already used. And it makes it kind of tough. You know, you want to do something that's a little bit unique. But it does show you're in one mind and accord when you got the same scriptures. So I thank God for that. I love living for God. I can't put it into words. I drove 3,000 miles to check this place out. And you could change. You could actually change your life. And I wanted to change. God was everything that they told me he was and more. And I just thank him so much for calling me, the opportunity to live for him. And he's an awesome God. I can't get over just how good he's been to me and my family and all of us here. He's a blessing that I'll be thankful for eternity. You know, there's a couple kinds of unity. There's good unity and bad unity. And we know where the bad unity comes from. And we don't want to be part of that. We don't want to be part of anything that conflicts the Word of God or causes any kind of strife and contention in his body of people. But sometimes to compare them, you can see the difference. And there's strength even in the evil unity. I want to start this teaching out in Genesis 11, verse 1. And this is an example of bad unity. This is when they were going to build the temple and all the way to the heavens, and they were going to be bigger than God and so on and so forth. Genesis 11, verse 1, and the whole world was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach into the heavens, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole world. Verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And the Lord says, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will restrain them from which they have imagined to do. That shows you right there, if a bunch of people get into one mind and accord, even if it's not good, they can There's no limit on what they can do. God's word teaches that. So he had to confound their language so they couldn't get the job done. Verse 7. Let us go down there and confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off the building the city. Well, we definitely don't want to be like them, but we do want to build God's church. That's what our main goal is, to win souls for God. And he gives us the tools to do that, and he put all of us in this particular body right here for that reason. We all have different callings, but it's all for the same purpose. When we're in that unity, God is, it brings him glory, but it also makes him very happy. Let's go to Psalms 133, verse 1. Psalms 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's on his beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended from the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God wants to bless us, and if we stay in one mind and accord, there's nothing we can't do. We can fill this church up. We can fill up 10 churches. Depends on what he's got planned for us. But right after camp, you know, that Satan gets right in there and starts stirring the pot. But myself, personally, I still haven't come down from camp, and I don't know what the future holds. As far as what we really got at camp, I know what we got when we were there, and how I feel since I left there, but God just never stops in one day or 2 days or 3 days. I mean, we all got what God wants us to get at camp. And so the future should be really bright for all of us. I read a little story the other day, and it has to do with people, but I think Ronald Reagan or somebody wrote it. It says, No amount of good you can do. There's no amount of the good you can do if you don't care who gets the glory or who gets the credit. And that's the humbling part of God's people, that we're all working for one goal. We don't care who's up in front or who's in the back or who's on the side or who's in the middle. It's all for God's glory. We don't care about that. We want to win souls to God just like somebody won us to God. We're out there in the world with no hope and not very happy. No matter what you achieve, you're not content in this world until you receive God's Spirit inside, because he made us that way. Let's go to 2 Timothy, verse 1. Got my pages marked, but they're all sticking together right now. Here we go. And this shows you right here how the love that Paul had for Timothy, and that he prayed for him all the time and always had his good in, how would I say that? He always prayed about it and had the work that he was called to do the forefront of his mind. He was always starting new churches and working with the people that were in charge. And he just had a great love for all the churches that he created, started. And Timothy had a soft spot in his heart. He was close to Timothy. 1 Timothy, verse 1. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with a pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, I may be filled with joy. When I remember the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of this gospel, this testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of this affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he's uplifting him. No telling what he was going through at that time, but he's bringing into remembrance what God's called him to do. And he's talking about just thinking about him, that he's got tears of joy. And it's just like this brotherhood that we share here. When we don't see each other for a while, or guys are gone working, or the ladies are gone somewhere, that when you see him, you're excited. You're happy to see him. You can't wait to hug them and tell them you missed them and see how they're doing and all that. That God puts that in his people. And that's a blessing, because you don't see that kind of love and kindness in this world much anymore. You can't have it without the infilling of the Holy Ghost, but the world used to be a better place to live in than it is at this point. There's a lot of things going on in our world, and we know that. And it's coming to a head one of these days. So we have to do our job to win any soul that's out there to this salvation before it's too late. Because there is a big storm coming. And we need to be ready at all times, and we need to get everybody ready we can get before it happens. I was thinking about that, Paul talking about praying for Timothy, and I was starting to think about, you know, do I carry a burden for God's people, for his church? When's the last time I had a burden for one of God's people? I mean, when I study this stuff, like I said before, I always study it for myself. Just where am I at on this stuff? And you know, you can never take your own inventory enough. I mean, we got a lot of things inside of us that nobody even knows about, that we don't like. The only way we can change them is with the power of God. I thank him so much that you can change. That was a foreign word to me at one time. I didn't think I could ever change. And I'm so happy that God had enough mercy on me to call me to this place and give me the power to change. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verse 1.
Ephesians 4, verse 1. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love.
That's not easy to do.
And without the power of the Holy Ghost inside you, it's impossible for you to do that seven days a week, 24 hours a day. It can't happen. Sooner or later, it'll come out. Angry words, so on and so forth. That's why God came back, to give us the power to live the life that the Bible teaches that we have to live to go to his heaven with him. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10 is where I wanted to really start at. And he descended in the same and ascended up above the heavens that he might fill all things. In verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why he puts teachers, evangelists to bring the people in, teachers to teach them, so we could start perfecting ourselves, giving us the power of the Holy Ghost to start changing our lives, and then we have a calling. And there's nobody that's not, if God's called you, you got something to do. And if you could only pray, that's what God called you to do, that's fine. We all have a calling. And you could see that at camp, everybody was doing their own thing, man. You can see, when everybody's in the right slot, man, it works like a singer sewing machine, just ching 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 ching. I mean, it's awesome to watch. It's like when we have work parties here, just all the work that gets done in a short period of time by a handful of people sometimes. That's the way God's arithmetic works. One is 1,000, two is 10,000. We get a lot done in a short period of time, just being at one mind and accord and working together. That's a blessing. Out at the camp, a couple years ago, the pastor of that church that owns it had, I don't know, 8 or 10 of his people standing there, and he needed something done. And we when we pull in there, we make a city out of that thing in about 2 hours. And I guess he was pretty impressed by it, because he said to these guys, watch, to his own people, he says, watch these guys work. They know how to make it happen. And I thought, I was just really proud of our church when he said that. I mean, that's another church. But to say that to his people about us is a major compliment. And he hinted to me. A while back, I saw him uptown. He hinted to me that he'd like to see our people do some stuff out there at the camp, you know, just because he knows we do a good job and all that. That's what he told me anyway. So that's all for God's glory. And when his people are performing the way his word tells you're supposed to perform, he gets the credit for that. That's all that counts. God gets the glory. And, we get the peace and joy out of it. I mean, and we're going to spend eternity with him. But just giving him the glory sometimes feels so good that you humbled yourself and
stepped out and did what was right. You know, it might not be easy, but it's what's right. We had some teachings this morning in Sunday school that were pretty awesome about that type of thing. Just always doing the right thing, no matter who's around or who's not around, and it's all for God's glory. And that's how I feel, and I know that's all how all you feel. This is an awesome life. It really is. I mean, it just, you go day in, day in, day out. You don't really think. I don't think that's me. I'll just put it my way. You don't really think about what God's waiting for. You know, I just do it because I know it makes God's happy. I don't really do it for a reward. I know His Word says He's going to give you one. But when you're doing what you're supposed to do in God, you can't help but be happy. I mean, that's where that joy and peace comes from. It doesn't make any difference what's happening out in your other life, the natural life. If God's happy with you, that's all that counts. And it reflects when you're working out in the world, even if you're in the store or wherever. If God's happy with you and you're projecting that, people notice that. And so I just thank Him for putting that in my heart to be like that. And not only His Word, but I like to do that. I like to do stuff for people. I like to see people be happy. You know, a lot of people thought I was happy in my other life, and I was miserable. But when somebody's really happy, you can tell when they're really happy. And they can feel that from you when you're talking to them. And praise the Lord. Yes, praise Him. Let's jump over to the same chapter, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. That right there is the key word to salvation. If you no matter what, if you just want what God wants in your life, and you walk in to this with an open heart, God will definitely show you your pathway, what's right and wrong, and give you the power to live the life that this Bible teaches. All you got to do is have an open heart and an open mind. If this is real, Lord, I want it. If it's not, I'll know that too. And He'll make sure that you get on the right path. Verse 19, who, being past feeling, has given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness and greediness. But you have not so learned in Christ, if so be that you have heard Him, have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. Your mind's renewed. You look at things a whole lot different. I remember telling somebody at work when I first got the Holy Ghost that if this place blew up right now, I don't even think I'd blink. And I actually meant that. I meant every word of it when I said it. He goes, what? I goes, I'm serious. I just know that God's happy with me right now. I know He's going to take care of me. If this place goes, well, I'm going with Him, or He's going to take care of me, whatever. And I couldn't believe that, but that's exactly how I felt. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, speaking away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And then it goes back to that unity right there. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And that's another thing. If you have a problem with your brother or sister, your wife, friends, make it right then. Instead of carrying that around, that's where the division and the problems come in. When you got something festering in there, and pretty soon it gets to be a big deal, and you share it with somebody else, and then it's a runaway. You sleep a lot better when you make it right before you go to bed, too.
Verse 27, neither give you place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And that's our
duty. When we're talking to people, not only a brother and sister, but anybody in this world, that we carry on a conversation that's godly, not get sucked into some of these conversations that get way off to the left. And I mean, I'm not talking about a bad joke. I'm talking about how conversation can drift over here, and pretty soon you're talking about somebody, or you're siding in with somebody. Well, this guy did that, or this person did that. I mean, That's how you get. You got to be on guard for that kind of stuff, because Satan's right there to throw that little stuff in there, and he knows our weaknesses.
Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you.
That's a beautiful piece of scripture right there. Beautiful piece of scripture. Yeah, if we are tenderhearted and forgiving one another, God does the same thing for us. And I don't care how hard you try, you need all the mercy you can get. And God will give it to you if you pass it around. Let's go to John 17. This is some of that love that God has for his creation right here. Liz brought some of these scriptures up in Sunday school today. And I thought I had this one hid from anybody, but it does show we're in one mind and accord, so that's cool. I tried to just grab a couple of scriptures out of here, but I just couldn't do it. The whole thing is how much God wants us to be one with him and with each other and how much he loves us. And I got to go through it. Chapter 17, verse 1. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We all want to be able to say that. We finished the work that God gave us to do. That's your ticket into the eternal life with him. Verse 5, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest me them, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever that thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the word which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And that, just to stop for a second here, that our life is what brings glory to God, and that's what he's saying right here. He's lived a holy life. He's brought glory to the Father, and he's relayed that word to us, and we can do the same. Isn't that a beautiful thing, man? It's just a beautiful thing, man. Verse 11, and now I am no more in this world, but these are in the world. I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep them through thine own name thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak to in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. That's what I was talking about, that joy. When you're doing what you're supposed to do with God, you can't help but have joy. It's there. You can't get around it. It's just there. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of this world, but thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Thou hast sent me into this world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I have sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And sanctified means holy. They've lived a holy life, the same as he did. Verse 20, neither I pray for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through the word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. It's by our example that we win people to God. It's just living in an unholy world, a holy life, is what draws people to God. By your reactions when things happen to you that are real negative, just anything like that. Not acting like throwing hammers. You know, all the things that, even when somebody tries to talk about somebody to you, if you don't react to them, and I've had people say to me, after I didn't react to them and didn't get involved in it, that, yeah, I probably shouldn't have said that. You know, I mean, you can break that stuff off if you want to, or you can feed on it. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. This whole chapter is about being in one mind and accord with God. It was written thousands of years ago, but it's right today. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to be. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with them where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. Verse 25, O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known me. These have known that thou hast sent me. I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. I mean, that tells the whole story right there. Just, we were born, really born again, received the Holy Ghost,
He gives you the power to live a life, a holy life, and then you go out and you be an example in this world, wherever you go. I was just surprised how many times it was you and me and I and them. God never writes anything for just to be writing it. It just, it's for our understanding and what he requires of his people to be like. And sometimes I get thinking about God, I can't say nothing. I can see the whole picture, and I just feel so unworthy that God has called me to such a wonderful way of living. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity, which is love. That's what that word means in the Bible. Which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which also we are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I catch myself singing and humming to myself sometimes, and I'm really not feeling very well. I mean, not feeling well at all. And I think, hey, you know, you're already hurting here. What are you doing singing? But God puts that in your heart, man. I mean, I hear my wife singing, and upstairs, it's down here, and I know she's not feeling good. She's singing away. Living for God is a beautiful life, man. It is an awesome life. If the world actually, I told a guy one time, if you could put the Holy Ghost in a pill, you couldn't make them fast enough. It's true. If people only knew what it's like, you have to be hungry enough to at least check it out, and then God will start leading you. But if you don't have any interest in it, well, you'll never know what it's like to be filled with the Holy Ghost or live for God, the Holy Ghost. In the life that he says you have to live, you have to have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life to live it. So, just in the last scriptures I'll bring out is a little bit about the salvation plan here, what it takes. Let's go to the book of Acts, the first chapter, verse 4. Acts, first chapter, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not, this is Jesus speaking here, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of God, or Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his power. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world, earth. And when he spoke these things, while they beheld him, he was taken up in a cloud and received him out of sight. So they go to the upper room, and they're up there praying. Jesus' mother and brothers, that's all in here. I won't read it all, but it's all in this chapter. You can read it if you're interested, you'll be reading it. And then you get down here to chapter 2, and it talks about the day of Pentecost. So they were praying, and this is what happened to them. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each and every one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying to the other, Behold, are not these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in his own tongue whereon we were born? So when this happens to you, you can be speaking in a foreign language. You can be speaking in a heavenly language, angel. It doesn't make any difference, but this is what happens to you when you receive the Holy Ghost. You'll be speaking in tongues, and your life will never be the same again after that. It can't be the same again after that. That's the Spirit of God comes inside of you and lives in there and gives you the power to live an overcoming life. And there's not one person in this world that doesn't want to change a few things in their life. I don't care how nice they are. There's things that nobody knows nothing about in your subconscious mind that you don't want to share with anybody, and I don't blame you, but God can change them things. He can make a totally new person out of you. Let's move on over here to let's just go to verse 32. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses of. There being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into heavens, but he who said to himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the Jews heard this was all about the crucifixion and stuff. You can read this here later. But when they heard this, they knew that they had crucified the Savior. And they were, verse 37, now they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, which means convicted, said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, this salvation plan right here is for everybody that was ever born on this side of the cross. Then Peter said unto them to repent, which means turn away from whatever you got in your life that's not pleasing to God. Be baptized, have all that wiped away in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you, your children, all that are far off, even as many as our Lord, our God, shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this onward generation.
Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. That same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That must have been awesome, really awesome. 3,000 people getting the Holy Ghost at one time. Most of the people in this church have received the Holy Ghost, so they know exactly what I'm talking about, but there's people that haven't. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a supernatural thing. You can't buy it. You can't do anything. God is the only one that can give you that. And you don't have to do nothing special. You just got to reach out to him and say, if this is real, I want it. I need this or that in my life. I got to have this peace and joy. The way this world is getting anymore, if you don't have something to hold on to from God, it's going to be tough for you. It's getting tougher all the time. What's right is wrong, what's wrong is right anymore, according to God's word. And a day will probably come when you won't even be able to read this word. But I can't thank God enough for what he's done for me. And it's all because I received his spirit that I was able to change. And if you don't have it tonight, this altar is open to you. If you do have it, we all got things we can pray about. Something I didn't tell you earlier was Carrie's and Sophie and Gabby's dad, they had the service for him yesterday, and I got a text that was really, really a beautiful thing. And there was all kinds of flowers there, but the only flowers in that whole church were from people in this church. We're the only ones that sent flowers to that man's funeral. That, they couldn't thank me enough for the church being there for him. I mean, God's awesome, man. I mean, his love is ever-reaching, ever-seeking, just to try to touch people and draw them to him. He uses that type of stuff to reach people too. But I was so proud of our people here. And she texted me and said, Dad, thanks for your prayers. Thanks to church for your prayers. But, you know, the church and you and our family are the only ones that sent me flowers there. It meant so much to us, Dad. So, that being said, man, we are a family here, a real family. And when we reach out for each other, when we're having hard times, good times, and it shows that unity in God, that love of God that we show each other, and the world sees that. So I invite you to come to the altar tonight. Get something from God. We can all use a little extra. If we think our tank is full, we can pray for somebody else. Thank you for listening. And I love you all. And I forgot to do was thank our visitors for coming. Thank my nephew Timmy for coming, his beautiful wife, and his little boy. Being here tonight. It's just been a beautiful thing having them here back home. I love you, and come on up.